This is a story about Raghupati Upadhyaya pleases Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is from Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verse 92 to 107. This is one Brahmin that Lord Chaitanya met during his travels. And somewhere in Bihar. But Upadhyaya is a Brahmin. Hinakali aila Raghupati Upadhyaya Tirohita Pandita Bara Vaishnava Mahashaya. At that time, Raghupati Upadhyaya of the Tirohita district arrived. That's a district in Bihar. One of the old districts of Bihar. Bihar, there's UP, then Bihar, then Bengal. So he was coming from there. Raghupati Upadhyaya was a very learned scholar and a great devotee. Bharo Pandit and Vaishnava Mahashaya. Mahashaya means respectable gentleman. There's many meanings of the word, but it's very well-versed in all Vaishnava Shastras also. Asiteno kaila prabhur charana vandan krishne matti rahubali prabhura vachan. Raghupati Upadhyaya first offered his respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord gave him blessing, saying, always stay in Krishna consciousness. Krishna Mati Rahubali Prabhuravachan. Prabhuvachan. So this is another place as Lord Chaitanya says that this is the blessings of a sannyasi. A sannyasi gives blessings by saying Krishna Matir Astu. Krishna Matir Astu. Astu means let it be, may it be. May it happen. Mati means your intelligence, your inclination, your discrimination, your thoughts. Let your thoughts be filled with Krishna. Let you discriminate in terms of Krishna. Let you be inclined, may you be inclined towards Krishna. Krishna Mati Rastu. So here he's simply saying Krishna Mati. Just remain Krishna conscious. It's a nice blessing. Always stay in Krishna consciousness. Now we want to stay in sleeping consciousness. Mostly we're not in Krishna consciousness. But someday maybe we'll always be in Krishna consciousness. By the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Shuni anandita haila upadya yeraman. Prabhu Tanre Kahila Kaha Krishna Varnan. Raghupati Upadhyaya was very pleased to receive the blessings of the Lord. The Lord then asked him to describe Krishna. Krishna Varnan. So you think now that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in Radhabhav. He's in the mode of Radharani, searching for Krishna. So whenever he meets anyone, he asks them, have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? Can you tell me about Krishna? I want to hear something about Krishna. So this is a devotee. On one level, Lord Chaitanya is showing the example of a devotee. When a devotee meets another devotee, Raghupati Upadhyaya was a devotee of the Lord, Vaishnava. So when devotees meet each other, this is what they ask. Or at least this is the line of questions they should have. Can you please tell me something about Krishna? One of our godbrothers that's not with us anymore, his name was Radhakundas. He used to wear a small... It's kind of funny in one sense, but it was nice. Everyone has their own character. Devotees are all individual. So he had a small badge that he would wear. He made it himself, actually. on some cardboard and said, "Please ask me about Krishna." And he wore it. It was quite big. It was about this big. It looked a little funny, but anyway. He would put it on here on this shirt. And he'd walk around the temple. "Please ask me about Krishna." And so the new bhaktas, they thought this was quite a novel presentation. So they would often gather around and say, "Yes, can you tell me something about Krishna?" He said, "Do you know that Krishna has seven lotuses on his body? His navel, his eyes, his hands, his feet, like this, and different things." He would tell them. And it was nice. He was always trying to remind them of Krishna, something about Krishna's gunas or name or qualities. So this was being done in a rather exaggerated way, by making a badge and walking around with a badge like someone in a showroom. "May I help you?" Sometimes people in a clothing store, they wear some badge, you know, may I help you, or they have the name of the store on the badge, Macy's, "May I help you?" Service personnel or whatever. But at least the mood, we should have that, we should be wearing that mood. Not that we have to wear a badge like that, but we should be wearing that mood of wanting, and we should have that bhav, that seva bhav, that enthusiasm, that interest, that urgency, that eagerness, that interest, and that enthusiasm to want to tell everyone that we meet about Krishna. And of course, Lord Chaitanya has also ordered that. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hanatari desh. Where yare deke tare, yare dhare. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, you should tell them about Krishna. Krishna upadesh. Give them some instructions to turn their face towards Krishna. Because now their face is Krishna Bahirmukh. Now their faces of the conditioned soul are turned away from Krishna. So you have to pull their ears. "Hey, listen, Shunye, listen. Krishna's like this, you know." I have to tell them. I have to give them instructions to inspire them to become interested in Krishna. So we should have this mood. And Lord Chaitanya is showing it also in this case. He's meeting a devotee, it seems so redundant in one sense that Radharani is asking some Brahmin, Bihari Brahmin, "Excuse me, Bihari Brahmin, can you tell me something about Krishna?" As if Radharani doesn't know anything about Krishna. Do you think that this Bihari Brahmin knows more about Krishna than Radharani? Is it possible? It's not possible. But so why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Bhav, why is he bothering to do this? Because he's teaching. As I mentioned, there's different levels. This verse has level for Lord Chaitanya, level for the story, and level what is the meaning to us. So for us, it's a teaching for us that we meet one Brahman, one devotee meets another devotee. This is God meeting a devotee. This Raghupati Upadhyaya, he's a devotee, he's a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means a devotee of Vishnu, devotee of Krishna. Now he's meeting Krishna. And even when Krishna meets his devotee, then Krishna is asking the devotee, "Oh, can you tell me about Krishna?" What to speak when devotees meet each other? Well, usually we say, "Oh, Prabhu, did you hear about this? Oh, this guy, that guy. This lady, that lady." We're supposed to speak about Krishna. So this is one level of a teaching for us, to a reminder. Nija Krita Krishna Lila Shloka Padila Shuni Mahaprabhur Maha Prema Veshahaila. When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested to describe Krishna, he began to recite some Sanskrit verses that he had personally composed about Krishna's pastimes. Of course, these great Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Brahmins, they're trained from youth in Sanskrit and Vyakaran and Sahitya and Kavi and Naya and Itihas. So they're well versed in all these sciences of how to write literature, how to write Sanskrit, how to compose poetry. And being devotees, then they write about the object of their love. They're love poems, you can say. You have sometimes some man or woman, they fall in love and they have some ability to express themselves, so maybe they write a love poem or a love song. So Vaishnavas will write love poems or love songs about the Lord. Chandidas, Vidyapati, they wrote so many love songs or beautiful poetry about Radha and Krishna, their pastimes. So Raghupati Upadhyaya, he was also writing poetry in a language that he knew best, Sanskrit. But even devotees who don't know Sanskrit, they might know English or French or German or Russian. They can also write poetry to glorify the Lord. It's not that you have to go to school and study Sanskrit for 12 years. It's not a bad idea, but life is pretty short and Sanskrit's pretty hard. It's not easy. And then, but the language in your hand is already there, so now move it. Move your hand and let the language convey the meaning, the feelings of your heart. So it's an expression of love. It's a devotional outpouring to speak about the Lord, to write about the Lord, to think of the Lord, to serve the Lord, to work for the Lord. These are all expressions of the heart. So he's so powerful. We said verses earlier, Bara Pandit Vaishnava Mahashai. This is the lakshana, the characteristics of Raghupati Upadhyaya. This was his introduction. Krishnas Kaviraj gave the introduction. Here is a new drama. Here are the actors on the stage. In this scene of the drama, we have the main hero, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the second hero, Raghupati Upadhyaya, Bihari Brahman. And these are his qualities. He's Bara Pandit Vaishnava Mahashai. Now, what's the scene? What's the action? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him blessings. So then, he's very happy to receive those blessings. Then the Lord asks him, please tell me about Krishna. Then he recites a beautiful Sanskrit verse, which he composed himself. Some Sanskrit poetry, which he had written to glorify the Lord. And he said, Shrutim apare smritim itare. Bharatam anye bhajantu bhava pita ahamiha nandam vande yasyalinde param parama. And then he recited his poetry. Shrutim apare smritim mitare bharatam anye bhajantu bhava pita ahamiha nandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. He said, those who are afraid of material existence, they worship and study the Vedic literatures, which means the Shrutis and the Smritis. The Shrutis, which means the main Vedic literatures, and the commentaries and corollary literatures, Smritis. Some people worship the Smritis, which are the corollaries of the Shrutis, and others worship the Mahabharata. But as far as I am concerned, I don't worship either one. I'm not interested, or any of the three. I'm not interested in the Shrutis. I'm not interested, which means Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda. I'm not interested in the Shrutis. I'm not interested in the Smritis, Upanishads, Puranas. I'm not interested in Mahabharata. Really, you sound like a Pashandi. You sound like a non-Aryan, it sounds like an atheist. Well, then what are you interested in? And what did he say? Aham hiha nandam vande. He said, as far as I'm concerned, I worship Nanda Nandan, Maharaj Nanda, Krishna's father, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing. So he's saying that I don't know about all these Shrutis and Smritis and Mahabharat. I just worship Nanda Nandan. Because the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's crawling around in his courtyard. I worship that Nanda Nandan. That's enough for me. That's all I need to do. So of course this verse is Rupa Goswami included in Padyavali also. which in a section where he's talking about ekantiki, bhakti, soul dedication to Krishna and nothing else. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this poem glorifying his Ishtadev, Raghupati's Ishtadev, Nanda Nandan, then he said, Age kaha prabhu vakye upadhyaya kahila Raghupati upadhyaya namaskara kaila. Lord Chaitanya said, when requested by the Lord to recite more, Raghupati immediately offered his respects to the Lord and granted his request. So Raghupati spoke one verse and the Lord liked it. And he said, Age, Age kaha, go Age, 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 go further, go more, speak more. So then Raghupati, he offered respects to the Lord. All right, I'll try again. Say some more. Kam prati katiyatam ishe sam prati kova pratitam ayatu go pati taniya kunje gopa vaduti vitam brahma. To whom can I speak who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of the river Yamuna. In this way, the Lord demonstrates his pastimes. So this is one devotee feeling somewhat, I don't know what he's feeling, but he's feeling like, I can't really say what he's feeling. You know, who's going to believe me? If I go to someone and say, do you know whom I worship? Who is my Ishtadev? Who is my God? Who will believe me? People think I'm cracked. If I go up to them and say, yes, I'm worshiping God, this Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, the topmost form of Godhead. And what is he doing? He's running around the forest looking for some gopi to. He's hunting, the word Prabhupada uses, hunting the gopis. The Prabhupada says that the material world is full of woman hunters. Often when Prabhupada's criticizing the materialists, he said they're just drunkards and woman hunters. But God himself, and then in this verse he's saying Krishna's a woman hunter, in his own words. So I guess it's all right for Krishna to, it's all right for God to hunt women. But it's not all right for men of this world to hunt women. Rather funny thing here. So let's look at the Sanskrit here. Go patitanya kunje gopavadu gopavatu vitam, the hunter. That's what it says. Gopavadu, the wives. Gopavadu, vadu means the newly married bride. Gopavadu, says the coward girls. It's saying gopavaduti, coward girls, but literally it means the newly married brides of the coward men, or the newly married wives of the coward men. And vita means hunter. So that the Supreme Lord has become a hunter, and he's hunting the gopis and the kunjas of Vrindavan. So who can I speak this to? Who will believe me? So this was a verse Raghupati spoke to Lord Chaitanya. Prabhu kahena kaha teno pare Krishna lila premaveshi prabhuradeya mana ayujhaila. Mahaprabhu requested Raghupati Upadhyaya to continue speaking about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus the Lord was absorbed in ecstatic love, and his mind and body slackened. Relaxed, they were totally relaxed. Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport here. Very interesting how he takes this from the Adidaivaka Vichara, the level of just the Lord's own transcendental ecstasies and his own anubhavas, physical anubhavas, or transformations through the bhava and prema, because he says prema vesh. So Mahaprabhu is in prema vesh, sharing these sweet descriptions of Krishna's nature and character and pastimes in Braj, and then his body is experiencing sattvic ecstasies of prema, which is for itself and by itself, way beyond our reach and way beyond us. But then Prabhupada takes that and brings it down to the adhyatmic level in his purport and says, now listen to how this high, totally transcendental, unique experience of prema vesh, of someone absorbed in Krishna prema. This is Krishna and Radhabhav experiencing, remembering how she was hunted herself by Krishna, or how she enjoyed with Krishna the kunjas of Vrindavan. After hearing this verse by Raghupati Upadhyaya, which became an excitant or stimulant to remind Radharani of her intimate pastimes of Krishna and Braj. So remembering that, she became transformed in prema and exhibited different anubhavas and ecstasies. Now Prabhupada takes this verse, which is on that high transcendental spiritual level, with Lord Chaitanya and Radhabhav, Radharani remembering Krishna, and hearing this verse by the Brahman, now brings this down to us, the reader, and that's called adhyatmic vichar. How does it apply to me? Or what benefit can I draw on my level? And Prabhupada is doing that in the purport. So he said the purport to this verse, which is way beyond our imagination or perception, because our adhikar is so less. But Prabhupada makes it tangible. Our bodies and minds are always engaged in material activities. When they are activated on the spiritual platform, they slacken on the material platform. So it's very interesting that Lord Chaitanya is hearing this, and he's in Radhabhav, Krishna relishing Radharani's moods and bhavas, Mahabhav, and hearing this verse about Krishna's pastimes in the bushes and kunjas of Vrindavan, and all their limbs become, or Mahabhu's limbs become extended, his hands stretch and everything slackens and relaxes as a symptom of ecstasy and prema. And Prabhupada's taking, yes. Well, our bodies are always very active and very tense. People often say, oh, tension. I have so much tension. And my business creates so much tension, anxiety, stress. These are very common words in the modern day vernacular. And often you go to doctors and they say, yes, this is stress-related disease. BP, heart problem, blood pressure, this, that. There's too much stress in your job. You have to relax. You should take a few days off. Go to the Hare Krishna temple. No. You should relax. You should. So these terms are very common. Tension. And they use it in advertising all the time when they're trying to sell some new Tylenol or pain reliever or new kind of painkiller. Tension-free life. Tension, anxiety, stress. These are big words in the Western world, isn't it? Tension, anxiety. They have special type fonts that they use when they write on the medicine package. Tension relief, take two a day or whatever. And there's all kind of red marks or funny type font. Tension. So our bodies are stressed out, or so much tension in material life. So Prabhupada's saying that our bodies and minds are always engaged in material activity, so we're full of stress, we're full of anxiety, we're full of tension. But when these same bodies and minds become activated on the spiritual platform, when they start engaging in the service of Vaikunthanath, when you move into the temple, Krishna temple, where you center your life around Krishna, make your body a temple to the Lord, make your house a temple to the Lord, then you actually live in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Vaikuntha atmosphere. Prabhupada says the temples are Vaikuntha. So wherever Radha and Krishna are being worshipped, wherever Radha and Krishna are the center of your thoughts, then you're living in Vaikuntha. So if your body is centered around Radha and Krishna, your body is Vaikuntha. If your house or flat or apartment is centered around Radha and Krishna, your house or flat is Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha means without anxiety. Stress-free environment. You can have these signs, these international road signs they have in Europe. They have a circle, a red circle, and then they have a red line, right? And they have some black figure of a guy walking, and it has a red line going through. It means no jaywalking or no walking across the street. And they have a dog, and the dog is like pooping or something. The dog is squatting down pooping. Then they have a red circle and a line through it, and that sign is put in the public park, which means no dog pooping here. A picture is worth a thousand words. So if you're living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, then you have a big red circle like this, and the middle of the circle says stress, then there's a red line going through it. Stress-free zone. Anxiety-free zone. Tension-free zone. Come to Vaikuntha. Live in Vaikuntha. Chant Hare Krishna. So this is, the devotees live in Vaikuntha. So it's stress-free. So then it's saying, when our bodies and minds are activated on the spiritual platform, then they slacken on the material platform. Like, so this is very interesting how Prabhupada is taking this verse from the Adi-Daivika level. You see, Adi-Daivika Vichara, and bring it to the Adi-Atmika Vichara, Atmika, to our level. It's quite amazing. So this is the verses have all these different angles one can see when one looks at them. Prema deki upadhyayara haila chamatkar manusha nahi ino Krishna karil nirdhar. When Raghupati Upadhyaya, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms. Prema degi chamatkar. Chamatkar means wonderful, amazing, astonishing. Astonishing exhibition of transcendental love. Prema degi chamatkar. Manushya nahi te inho, Krishna karila nirdhar. When he saw that, when he saw those ecstatic symptoms, his prema chamatkar, then he made an assessment, nirdhar, that the Lord was not a human being, but Krishna himself. Could you imagine what that would be like? As we often said when we're reading Shastra, or hearing Shastra, we should try to be there. Enter that time frame, be in that place, be amongst these personalities, be sitting there, be observing these personalities, and if you want to go even deeper, try to enter the heart of any one of those personalities as much as you can. Try to enter the heart of Raghupati Upadhyaya. What would you feel like if you were Raghupati Upadhyaya? You are a mortal of this world. You were born in Bihar. You were trained as a Brahmin. And you grew up and you studied Sanskrit. And then perchance you met one day, you met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's 500 years ago. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to your village. He's not wearing any sign around his neck. I am God. He doesn't have any badge on his lapel. It says, listen everyone, I am God. Because he appeared, just like when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, only a couple hundred people understood that he was God. The rest of the people thought he was some ordinary bloke. As a British would say, he's an ordinary bloke. He's just some guy from Mathura. Some UP wala. Or Dwarkavasi. Only a couple hundred people understood he was God. Srila Prabhupada said that. So they avajanati mamuda manasham tanamashita. Krishna says in Gita, when I descend, manasham tanamashita, manutanu, very nice Sanskrit, manutanu, manasham tanamashita. Tanu means body, manu means man. When I take the body of a human being or a man, then avajanati mamuda. When I descend, avajananti, when I come down and take birth here, then the mudhas, the fools, they think, oh, you've taken a human form. This is just Brahman. Brahman has done some vikar. The original absolute thing is Brahman. And there's some vikar or transformation, taking this temporary limited form, this human form, a temporary material form for some lila. But actually, you give up this form and again become Brahman. Avajanati mamuna malasham tanamashita. When I take shelter, when I appear in a human-like form, they think that this is illusion, or this is just, this is not God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not advertising, he didn't have any advance parties come ahead of him and saying, everyone get ready, God is coming to your town next week. Lord Chaitanya is on his way, he'll be in your town tomorrow. So God is coming. G-O-D is coming to your... God is coming to our town. Set up festoons and get out the welcoming mat and bring out a big band and all kinds of virgin girls with pots of water on their heads and all these type of Vedic greetings, which they do in the traditional time when some great person comes to some place. Lord Chaitanya just walking along, Krishna, 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 hey. One Lord Chaitanya, one servant. That's it, bus. No limousine, no mobile home, no Barth, no Barth, Winnebago, etc. No advance party, not even a motorcycle, just walking barefoot from town to town. Then you meet this Brahmin, and he sees, oh, this is some sannyasi. He's carrying ek danda. He appears to be a Mayavadi sannyasi. So I'm very happy to meet him. Because there's no indication when they met that Raghupati said, oh my God, you're God. And he offers dandabhats. He said, oh, hello. He offered respects. Raghupati Upadhyaya first offered his respects. And then the Lord gave him blessings. Because Raghupati Upadhyaya, he's a Brahmin, he's a Grihastha, he's married. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sannyasi. So sannyasis, according to Vedic Dharma and the Vedic paradigm, the sannyasis are the gurus for the four orders. Brahmins are the gurus for the varnas, and then the sannyasi is the guru of the Brahmins. So the sannyasi is to give, his duty is to give blessings to the Brahmins. So he said, Krishne, Krishne Mati. Krishna Matirastu, yes, may you be Krishna conscious. So everything was according to protocol. The whole interaction, the whole interchange between Raghupati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was according to the Vedic protocol. A Brahmin meets a sannyasi. So they're very cordial, respectful. Sannyasi gives blessings. Then the sannyasi says, oh Brahmin, can you tell me something about Krishna? And in those days, Brahmins were really learned. Now the Brahmins, if you meet some Brahmin, he says, he does puja, he says, hold this water, and you hold the water, and he says, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Chaya. And he recites some verse that everybody learns the second day in ISKCON. And then this is all the only verse he knows practically. So then he does his puja, Mangalayastanal Hri, Mangalam Bhagavan Vishnu, Mangalam Guru Dvaja, Mangalam Pundarikaksha, Mangalayastanal Hri. Akalamrita Charanam. Then you read the other thing that they recite, Achman mantras. When one takes Charanamrita, there's a Charanamrita mantra. Akalamrita Charanam Sarvavyadi Vinashanam. This is a mantra that's in our deity worship book when you take Charanamrita. And this is what they offer. This is the mantras that they offer a pranam to guru, a pranam mantra to Brahmins, Namo Brahmani Devaya. Then they offer a Charanamrita mantra. And they say, Swaha, Swaha. Shukla Paksha, then they tell you what month it is and what day it is, and it's all in Sanskrit, so you think, wow, this guy's really, really got something up his sleeve here. He's saying, you know, Kartik, Krishna Paksha, Kartik Mas, Braj Mandal Me, Kartik Mas, Dwadasatiti. And it's, wow, hocus pocus. Hocus pocus. But in those days, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a pundit himself, Nimai Pundit, and he met another pundit, and he said, listen, pundit, can you tell me something about Krishna? So he said, yes. And then he tells his verses, some verses he had written about glorifying Shrutimapare. He recited some verses that he had composed to glorify his Ishtadev, just like you may write some poetry about Krishna in English or French or whatever. So he was writing in Sanskrit. That was his easy language for him. So then he spoke it. And then this person he spoke to, this wandering mendicant, this Advaitin sannyasi, Ekdandi sannyasi, then all of a sudden he sees that, wait a minute, this is not just a normal poetry reading. I read my stuff and you read your stuff. When I read one one shloka from my, or one shloka, now the person is listening to my shloka, he's going catatonic on me. He's going into a trance, you know, he's trembling, his foam coming from his mouth, his water's shooting from his eyes, all his limbs are becoming slack. And I've studied the shastras about sattvic bhavs and anubhavs and vyavachari bhavs, and I've read these 33 sanchari bhavs, and I read about them. I know that there's different levels, jwala, ujjalita, and then sudipta and deepta, and all these different intensities. Okay, I've read about it, but now I'm seeing it. Now I'm seeing the person right opposite me exhibiting in black and white and technicolor, three dimensions, and right in front of me. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Who is this? And I've seen so many people, and I had so many poetry readings, I read my Sanskrit in so many places. I saw a few Sahajiyas come from Bengal and roll on the floor and kick their feet around, and then they jump up and smoke BDs and rock away. But I never saw anybody like this. Who is this person? Who is this? So this is chamatkar. This is most bewildering to me. And then he decided, manushya nahi, inho Krishna. He said, this is not a human being. This must be Krishna. Can you imagine you're sitting here? Imagine I'm sitting here, I'm talking to Sri Nandananda, my godbrother. Then one day he starts going to ecstasy. I said, oh my God, I thought it was Nandananda, but it's actually Narada Muni. and then one day I see his Veena, and I see all these celestials around him and all these demigods, and I said, oh my God, I just took you for granted that, you know, please forgive me, we ate together and we sat in the same chair together, and you know, I didn't realize, like Arjuna and Krishna on the battlefield. So, you know, we laugh, we think it's funny, but that's just think how shocked you would be and how amazed you would be if this sannyasi you're speaking to all of a sudden turns out to be God. I mean, it's quite astounding from the reader's side, but we just read, oh, Raghavajna, Raghavajna. Okay, what is that? No, what's the next verse? And each verse is enough to spin your head around. So it's a matter of absorption, becoming tanmoy with the scriptures, with the setting, the scene, the feelings of persons. I mean, everyone's always buying books. Every month there's more and more books coming out in English in the bookstore. And if we could just read one book, if we could just read one book and deeply get into one book, we would be self-realized, absorbed in prem. We just collect books like 1,000 books, 10,000, 20,000. We never actually read one book thoroughly or in a committed way. I'll finish this story. So Raghupati, when he saw these ecstatic symptoms of prem, extraordinary, unusual symptoms of prem being flowing over the body of Mahaprabhu, he was bewildered. He was thinking that this must be Krishna himself. Prabhu kai upadhyaya shrestha manakai shama meva paramrupam kahe upadhyay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked a question to Raghupati Upadhyaya. According to your decision, who is the foremost being? Shreshta mana. Manakai, manakai, manakai. What do you think? What do you think? Who's the shreshta? Shreshta means the topmost. The most beneficial, the most gives the greatest benefit to all, greatest contribution, greatest contributor is a shrestha. And then Raghupati Upadhyaya replied to this question of Mahaprabhu, Shamam eva param rupam. Sham. Sham is a param rupam. The Sham Sundar, Sri Krishna. He is the topmost param. Param means topmost, best, supreme, transcendental. Rupam means form. Lord Shamasundar is the supreme form. Shama rupera vasastana shreshtamana kai puri maru puri vara kai upadhyay. And then Mahaprabhu asked another question. All right, you're telling me, I asked the question, who is the Shreshta Manakai? Who do you think is the topmost or the greatest personality? He says, Shamsundar. Shamsundar is the Paramrupam. He's the topmost transcendental form. There's no higher. Okay. I don't argue with that. I won't argue with that. Shamsundar replies, okay, I won't disagree with that, since I am that Shamsundar. Bahir Radha, Antar Sham. Inside I'm Sham, but outside I'm Radha. Radha Kanti and Radha Bhav. I won't argue with that. Let me ask you another question. Sham Ruper Vasistana Shrestha Man. Manakai, what do you think, this Sham Rup, what do you think is, of all Krishna's abodes, of all the places where Krishna lives, which place do you think is the topmost? Then he said, Marupuri. Marupuri. Marupuri means Mathura. Mathura. He says, Marupuri or Mathura Dham is certainly the best of all of Krishna's abodes. Then Prabhupada's purport. The Brahma Samhita explains, Advaitam Achyutam Ananam Anadim Ananta Rupam. The Lord Krishna has many unlimited forms. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyaya, which form was the best form of Krishna's millions of forms? And Raghupati Upadhyaya immediately replied that the supreme form was Shamsundar, was a Shamsundar form. In that form, Krishna stands curved in three places and holds his flute. Tribhanga Lalitam. The Shamsundar form is also described in Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksadeva Ridyesha Vilokayena Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma said, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. The Lord is seen in his eternal form of Shamsundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. Prabhupada states, those who are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna always see the form of Shamsundar within their hearts. The person who is writing this sentence is seeing what he's writing. This is like sometimes people write, there's a biography, which is someone writing the story of someone's life and teachings, if there's teachings. And then there's autobiography, it's self-written, when one writes the story of his own life. So this sentence is certainly descriptive of Prabhupada himself. He's saying, those who are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna always see the form of Shamsundar within their hearts. So, that's like a line from Prabhupada's autobiography. Because Srila Prabhupada is certainly filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is always seeing the form of Krishna within his heart. We spoke that in maybe 2004 in Krishna Balaram Mandir on the Ram Nomi. They had the anniversary of the 30th year of the opening of the temple of Krishna Balaram. ISKCON, Raman Reti, and we gave lecture there in Bhagavatam class. And we said, of course, this is a day we're celebrating. Today is the day that of the opening of the temple, but actually today we're celebrating the day that Prabhupada opened his heart. We're celebrating the day that Prabhupada opened his heart and showed to the world the beautiful form of the Lord, known as Shamsundar, that Prabhupada's eternally worshipping in his heart. And when I said that, I got a standing ovation. The whole packed place, everyone clapped. I think it was even a little more better phrased better than that, because I'm trying to recapitulate it. And it was inspired by Prabhupada. But that's the fact that Prabhupada revealed. Yes, see this Lord, Shamsundara. This is the Lord I've captured in my heart. I've been worshipping for all these years. And now today I want to show the world Mayashtadev. So this sentence is reminding me of that. Raghupati Upadhyaya confirms that the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has many incarnations, Narayan, Nrisimha, Varaha, and others. But Krishna is distinguished as the supermost. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna means Shamsundar, who plays his flute in Vrindavan. Of all forms, this form is the best of all. Krishna lives sometimes in Mathura and sometimes in Dwarka, but Mathura is considered the better place. This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami in his Upadesh Amrita, verse 9. Vaikunad Shanitovara Marupuri. Marupuri means honey town. Honey town. Puri means town or village or city. And Madhu means sweet or honey. So Marupuri, honey town, honey city, honey village. Sweet village, sweet town, Marupuri, Mathura. Mathura is far superior to the Vaikuntha lokas in the spiritual world. So through the mouth of Raghupati Upadhyaya, Lord Chaitanya is teaching some very important teachings. He's asking him questions. This seems to be the fashion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever he meets a devotee, and especially a great devotee, he often induces him to speak some Harikatha by asking him questions. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knows the answer to all the questions. He knows the questions and all the answers. So he's setting up this dialogue for the benefit of us as a teaching technique. Oftentimes when someone is giving Bhagavatam class, a sannyasi or some devotee in the audience, he will ask questions. Not that he doesn't know the answer, but he wants to incite some discussion or bring out some clarity and from the speaker for the benefit of the audience. So he'll say, well, for example, the sannyasi may say, well, you said in your class like this, but can you explain that a little more? Because he can understand that maybe the devotees in the audience don't clearly understand his presentation, so then he asks a question of the speaker so the speaker will elaborate and clarify his statements. So when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy in Godavari, Ramananda Roy in the banks of Godavari and Rajmundry, South India, then they had dialogue. It's called Ramananda Samvag. Samvag means complete discussion. And Lord Chaitanya asked so many questions. Who is a wealthy man? Ramananda, can you tell me who is a wealthy man? Then Ramananda said, he who has love for Krishna, he who has Krishna Prem, he is a wealthy man. Then he said, Ramananda, can you tell me which are the best songs to sing? People sing so many songs. What are the best songs to sing? And then Ramananda said, my Lord, the best songs to sing are songs about describing the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Songs to describe the intimate conjugal pastimes, these are the best type of songs to be sung. They're the most beneficial. So here in this, again, later in Bihar, in this meeting with Raghupati Upadhyaya, Lord Chaitanya is employing the same teaching technique of asking questions which he fully knows the answers, and having through the mouth of this Brahman, Raghupati Upadhyaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is delivering essential truths about Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's called Siddhanta. Siddhanta, perfect, the end of perfection. Anta means end and Siddha means perfect. Siddhanta means that which delivers you to the perfection, or gives you the perfection. That those teachings, those instructions, those ideas. Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Siddhanta, Siddhanta. So, all these answers that are given by Raghupati Upadhyaya are actually being given by Lord Chaitanya, almost like a ventriloquist. Ventriloquist is, he has like a puppet, and the puppet is going, hello, this, that. But the ventriloquist is actually making the puppet speak, but you don't see his lips move. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making Ramananda Roy speak like a puppet. Or in that discussion, Ramananda Roy says, actually, you are making me speak like, I am speaking just like a parrot. All these things I am saying, Mahaprabhu, are actually being spoken through me by you. Ramananda Roy said that. So in the same way, Raghupati Upadhyaya, he's speaking like a parrot on behalf of the trainer. So we have to consider that these quote-unquote teachings or answers of Raghupati Upadhyaya, and this discussion, this story is called Raghupati Upadhyaya Pleases Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That these answers that Raghupati is giving are actually Gaudiya Siddhanta. These are the points, these are philosophical points and philosophical truths that Lord Chaitanya wants all of us to know. He wants all of us to hear and comprehend and think about and understand and realize and know these points of our own philosophy. So he's teaching us in a very pleasing and personal way in the form of this dialogue. So first he asked him, there's many forms of the Lord. Which is the supreme form? And he says, Shamsundar. And so if he gives the wrong answer, if Raghupati Upadhyaya gives the wrong answer, then naturally, or of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would correct him. Say, no, that's not right. But he didn't. He was quiet. Yes, okay, I accept your answer. In other words, yes, you've made one point, one correct point. You've established Gaudiya Siddhanta and one point correctly. Now I'll ask you another question. What is the topmost place, the topmost abode of the Lord? He said, Mathura. Mathura means not only the Janamstan of Krishna, of Vasudeva Krishna, but includes all Mathura Mandala. Chaurasi Kosh. Chaurasi means 84 square miles. Chaurasi. Chaurasi Kosh Brikama. It includes all the Dwadasavana of Vrindavan when we say Madhupuri or Mathura. So now that's two questions asked, two answers given, two answers accepted, and these two answers are the foundation of Gaudiya Siddhanta. Who is the topmost form of the Lord? Shamasundar. And that's the form we worship. Sri Mangalalitam Niyataprakasham. Shamasundar standing with a flute pressed to his lip, standing in a threefold bending form in Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna under the Kadamba tree in the full moon night of the Sharad season, surrounded by the gopis, dancing with the gopis, moving with the cows, playing with the coward boys, being tended by his mother and father and his nurses and servants. This is Shamasundar, the flute player of Vrindavan. And we worship Vrindavan and Mathura Mandala. Not Vaikuntha, not Dasavatar. So that's two questions and two answers. And Prabhupada gave us his purport. Now here's the third question. Balya Poganda Kai Shore Shreshtamanakai. He's always saying, Shreshtamanakai, Shreshtamanakai, Shreshtamanakai. In other words, he's saying, what do you... In other words, sometimes we meet a friend, we say, what do you think? He said, I think it's stupid. Oh, well, forget it. I'm not going to ask you. Let me ask, what do you think? Oh, I think it's very good. Oh, yeah, it's very good. Yes, it's very good. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear agreement. Don't tell me it's stupid. So you say, Shreshta Manakai. You say, Manakai, what do you think? What do you think is the best? I want to get your opinion. I want to get your opinion. Raghupati, what do you think? Which form of God had... Ati Sundari, which form of God do you like the most? Well, who do you think is the best? Oh, no, just that. Well, let me ask you another question. Now, you said Shamasundara is the best form of the Lord. All right, I accept that. But, you know, Shamasundara has different forms. And he has Balya Leela, and Poganda Kaishora. He's a young boy, Balagopal, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he's 5, 6, 7, 8, Poganda. And then he's like 10 to 15 Kaishora. So which age do you think is the best, the Shrestha? Is it his babyhood is best? His boyhood, his childhood is best? Or is boyhood is best? Oh, I don't know. I like them all. I like all of them. No, that's not the question. I didn't say, do you like all of them? I gave you three. Of these three, which is the best? Then he says, Vaya kaishorakam deyam kahi upadhyaya. This fresh youth is the best age. Vayu Kaishorakam. Kaishor. So it's Krishna Kishore. He said, this is the best. This is the most worshipable. Dayam, like dhyanam, this means dayam. Means this is the most worshipable form, most worshipable time of the Lord. When he's like 11, 12, 14, like this age, Kaishur. So Lord Chaitanya does, Prabhupada used to say, silence means agreement. Silence means agreement. For example, if the wife goes, speaking with the husband, says, listen, I'm leaving you, I'm going back to my mother, and I'm never coming back. And the husband just sits there. He doesn't say anything. If he's silent, that means he agrees with her proposal. He means, yes, go home to your mother, never come back. But if he has some different feelings, so wait a minute, you don't go too long, come back after, go for a week, all right. But silence means agreement. So Prabhupada, so if someone is saying something to you that, so this is the point. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks a question, and then the Brahman gives an answer, then Lord Chaitanya doesn't argue, doesn't disagree, doesn't argue with him. He accepts it. You said this answer? Oh, I accept. Now let me ask you another question. Rasagana madhyatumi shreshtamanakai adya eva para rasa kahi upadhyay. Mahaprabhu asked, Rasagan madhyatumi. Of all the rasagan means all the different groups of rasas. Among all the mellows or rasas, which do you consider the best? Adya eva pararasa. He says the adiras, the mellow of conjugal love, shringharas, the conjugal love between man and woman, this love between Krishna and his consorts, either parakya or swakya. Swakya means in Vaikuntha or Dwarka, and parakya means in Vrajadam. The mellow of conjugal love is called adi. Adi means original. This is the original ras, and this is the complete ras. All the flavors of all the other rasas are compressed and contained within adi ras. And the other rasas are just diluted forms or reduced forms of this adi ras. Then Lord Chaitanya, what did he say? Prabhu kahi bhala tattva shikaila more etabali shloka pare gadgada sware. Mahaprabhu said, you have certainly given very first class answers. So Lord Chaitanya said, your answers are very good. In other words, Lord Chaitanya gave a stamp of approval. Yes, your answers are correct. So what are those answers again? The topmost form of Godhead is Shamsundar. Where is the topmost abode of the Lord? In Vrindavan. And which is the best age of the Lord? His youthful age, his teenager age. And some Shastras, they say that Krishna's eternal age, eternally, we say Navakishor, or Navayovanam. Navayovanam means he's eternally youthful, or Navakishor means he's an eternal youth. Eternally Krishna exists in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Brajagokul. He exists 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. This is told maybe in Sanat Gamhara Samhita. It's quoted in Gorgavinda Swarna Padati by Dhyan Chandra, from one Samhita, maybe. This is Sanat Kumara Samhita. So Krishna, so he's a teenager. 12, 13, 14, like this, 15. And this is the perfect, the topmost age of the Lord. And then, alright, so now we have the topmost form of the Lord, the topmost age of the Lord, the topmost place where the Lord has his pastimes. Now of all the different rasas, of Madhurya Ras and Sakya Ras and Vatsalya Ras and Dasya Ras, of all the rasagan, Madhya Shrestha, which is the best? Which is the best of all the rasas? Oh, the best rasa is Adi Ras, the Madhurya Ras, the Kanjaka Ras. This is the topmost. Shrestha Ras. This is the topmost. So these are very crucial and essential points of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. That our Ishtadeva is Shamasundar with Radharani in Vrindavan enjoying the Kanjaka Mela on Parakya Bhav. This has been revealed in this conversation. Chin Raghupati Upadhyaya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya is very happy with this answer. Tattva Shika, Shiksha, you've given very good tattva, very good truth. And then Lord Chaitanya, after hearing this, then it says, Eit Bali Shlokapari Gadgara Swari, Gadgara. Gadgara means that after hearing these beautiful tattvas, this Gaudiya Siddhanta, these truths, these central truths of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, after hearing these answers of this Brahman, Raghupati Upadhyaya, Lord Chaitanya became emotionally deeply moved. He started to feel ecstatic, remembering his Shyam Sundar and remembering Vrindavan and remembering conjugal Ras. Hearing these statements sparked all his memories, because this is Radharani after all. It's Krishna and Radhabhav. So basically it's Radharani. Radharani hearing about Shyam Sundar, the topmost form. Yes, Shyam Sundar is the topmost form, playing his flute. He's so beautiful. Yes, Vrindavan is the topmost place, and I was there with Krishna and Vrindavan. And yes, Krishna's most beautiful form is when he's a novel Kishore. Yes, and the most intimate rasa, and the topmost rasa is Madhuri Rasa, and that's the rasa that I have with him, and I share with him in so many wonderful pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is losing it, becoming deeply absorbed in all these answers, and the meanings behind these answers, and all the leelas behind all these answers. It means one thing, the Raghupati Upadhyaya, he's saying something, some words, some answers to some questions. But it means another thing to Mahaprabhu, who's listening and hearing these answers and transposing those answers into rasic experiences. Now his voice is starting to falter. And with a choked voice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Shamam eva param rupam puri maru puri vara vaya kaishorakam deyam adya eva parorasa. So what you'll see here is, there were four questions answered by Mahaprabhu and four answers given by Upadhyaya. Now Lord Chaitanya took the four independent separate answers and put them together in one verse and repeated them back to Raghupati Upadhyaya. But this time all that answer, that same verses were put into one, and they're full of the ecstatic love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his voice was choked up, and he repeated the same thing. He said one thing, and he said the same thing back. Shamam eva param rupam puri maru puri vara vaya kaishorakam deyam adya eva parorasaha. The form of Shyama Sundar is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon. And the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. So you can imagine Radharani saying this, and what she's feeling, and what she's remembering. And that's why her voice is choking up, because she's losing it. Because she's saying this, and she's seeing Shyama Sundar, she's feeling the love of Shyama Sundar. And now, unable to contain her love, and unable to contain himself, prema veshe prabhu tanre kaila lingana, prema matahana teno karina nhartana. So, these emotions were bubbling and boiling inside the heart of Mahaprabhu, Radha's Bhav. It was going, sneha man, pranaya rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, modanakya, madanakya. Now, when it gets to the point of madanakya, it starts to explode. So first it explodes by some trembling in the voice. Because before a volcano explodes, the earth starts trembling. It's called tremor. If anyone knows about volcanoes, or some volcano, maybe dormant volcano, South Africa or something, or South America, is dormant, it's not active. When it starts, before it blows up, it starts having earthquakes, and then it becomes active. It just blows up like a big boil, and all this stuff goes flying all over the place, lava. So the golden volcano of divine love is about to erupt right now in front of your eyes. And the verse I just read describes the eruption of that golden volcano of divine love. Because these emotions, because first the ground starts trembling, and then it explodes and all this stuff comes out of the ground. It's called lava. This hot liquid fire and coal and burning cinders and everything. So first his voice is trembling. Trembling is like, and his heart is trembling already. His heart's been trembling with each successive verse of Raghupati Upadhyaya, immersing Mahaprabhu deeper and deeper in Radha Bhav, deeper and deeper in Mahabhav. And so his heart is trembling now. Now his heart is coming up to his throat, and he's trembling, he's choking, and now he's about to explode. So in his explosion, he goes mad, and the verse says, Mahaprabhu then embraced Raghupati Upadhyaya in ecstatic love, and Raghupati Upadhyaya was also overwhelmed with love and began to dance. So he was like, and he goes, Radharani wants to embrace Shyama Sundar. Well, the nearest representative of Shyama Sundar is this guy, this Brahmin. Okay, well, anyway, you'll do. and embraces him, and then they start dancing, and madness is prema matahana tana karena nartan. Prema mata means the explosion. This is the explosion. This is the Divyonmad. Divyonmad. Unmad means Unmata. Divyonmad Mahabhav. and the ecstasy and madness of Mahabhav. This is unmat. The same word is there. Prema matta. Karina nartan. Just, so this dancing, the dancing and this madness of love is the same as the spewing of lava, the volcano on the earth. That's the dancing of the, you could say that's the dancing of the volcano when it's blah, blah, all this junk and flames and cinders and lava oozing and shooting into the sky and running down the sides. So now the madness, the volcano of love has exploded, and he's just grabbed this innocent Brahmin, is throwing him all over the place and dancing around madly. Ah! And Brahmin's like, all right, Radhe, Radhe. It must have been ecstatic if you could just be there. So, meanwhile, the very sedate, learned, composed, tolerant, peaceful, and calm, Vallabhacharya was watching this all. Imagine you were sitting there. Deki Vallabha Vatamani Chamatkara Haila Dui Puchani Prabhur Charana Podila. Vallabha Bhattacharya was struck with wonder seeing Mahaprabhu and Raghupati Upadhyaya dance in madness of love. He even brought forward his two sons and made them fall down at the Lord's lotus feet. So his two sons, of course, they subsequently took charge of the worship of Srinathji. His two sons are Vitalnath, very famous personalities. Vitalnath and Gopinath. He had four sons. Gokulchandra, Gokulesh, Vitalnath, and this Gopinath. He had four or five sons, Vallabha Bhattacharya. We have the Vallabha Sampradaya. They're very strong in Gujarat. And they're the worshippers of the Srinathji deity of Giridhari. It was installed by Madhavendra Puri in Jatipur and Govardhan. Then he moved to Rajasthan, to Nathdwara. Very beautiful deity. So here it's telling 400 years ago, his two sons, Gopinath and Vitaleshwar, and Vitaleshwar specifically, he carried a deity from Vrindavan, from Govardhan. He took the deity to Nathdwara and established him there in his puja. So seeing this wonderful display of Premonmad of the Lord and his devotee, Mahavru and Raghupati Upadhyaya, and then Vallabhacharya, he said, hey, listen, boys, this is a good time to get the mercy. Bhaktapadaduli, Bhaktapadajal, Bhaktuchishtateen Mahaval. Simply by getting the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, you can get prema. There's so much power and strength there. So go for it. Dive in the dust. Get it. It's happening now. And the madness of prema is sprinkled in this dust, is contained in this dust. Put your head in that dust. That was a good move. He put forward his two sons and made them fall down at the Lord's feet. Imagine the Lord's dancing around. Hey, get down. You see sometimes these ladies and these mothers and fathers, parents, they bring their little babies to Radhakund. The kid is about 10 inches, 12 inches high, little babies. And they say, kid, go into Radhakund. It's good for you. You should take a bath in Radhakund. You'll get gopi prem. And they put the kid in the Radhakund. He doesn't want to be submerged in the cold water. But he's getting the mercy nevertheless. So this concludes our story of Raghupati Upadhyaya pleases Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his wonderful answers and behavior in their meeting during Lord Chaitanya's travels. Tomorrow is the story of Ishra Puri instructs his disciple, Nimai Pandit. Tune in tomorrow. By the Lord's mercy, we'll meet again tomorrow.